finish up his series on the book of James. Enjoyed it, haven't you? And come on, Brother Wiggins, with your real good voice.
Amen. That's a great introduction. Don't judge me because of the way I look. Because underneath all this fat, I'm skinny. I just like to protect my muscles. Amen. Man, I practiced at the house before I left. I came here, and my voice was working fine. And then I was sitting there, and I felt it. I was like, oh, here it comes. But I gave it a try, so I would almost be embarrassed, but I've done that several times. So I try, and that's all we can ask, amen. That song's been on my heart all day, and I said, Lord, I'll sing it if you'll let me. And then he said, well, that song wasn't for you. It was for me. And so he wouldn't let me sing it for you. But the unseen hand, James chapter 5. James chapter 5, we'll finish up tonight. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God has for us tonight. That'll help you buy my CDs, hear that nice raspy voice. And but I love to sing, but sometimes you just can't. So anyway, that's a blessing to some people. Whenever I have a cold, and they're like, finally, he's not going to sing tonight. Hallelujah. And but prayer tonight, talking about a praying faith. And by the way, I believe this with all my heart. One of the most damaging things to the Christian life is the lack of prayer. Amen. And really, prayer is the power that moves the hand of God. I know Pastor said that before. But the key to prayer is faith. If we go to God not believing that He's going to answer our prayer, then we have wasted our time and wasted God's time in prayer. And if you're like me, I've had those times where I've got on my knees and said, God, I don't know if you'll do this or not. Yeah, you've done that too, I'm sure. And we ought to go. And by the way, I believe that a person that prays in faith prays for God's will in their life. And by the way, God's will may not be what may bring you happiness, so to speak. It may be that God sends you somewhere, that God uses you in some fashion, but I want to promise you that if you're in God's will, then you'll be happy and you'll be blessed, and God will help you through that. And so when you pray, God, I want your will to be done. And I believe that God gives us the desires of our heart. In other words, He's going to put into your heart how to pray. I believe that. I know times that I prayed and I prayed against God's will, and I felt it in my spirit that I was praying wrong. And we don't pray that way, because we pray, the Bible says, as James says, we pray amiss. We're missing the mark. God has a mark for all of our lives. And when we pray, we should pray according. That mark is His will for our life. And so when you think about prayer, it's the most important thing. Somebody said this also. I didn't write this quote down. But one of the other most damaging things when we pray is amen. And I read that. I was like, what do you mean? It's because when we say amen, we don't wait on God to answer us. Guilty. We ever pray? Say, God, would you please help us today? Amen. We go about our business instead of just waiting just a moment and letting God speak to us. And let Him speaking through the Spirit of God in our spirit and trying to direct us. Martin Luther said this, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Amen. Well, Ian B. Bounds, by the way, if you ever want a book on prayer, and when you get through reading it, you'll feel about that low below the ground. And I read it about first time I ever tried to read it, I got about halfway through it and said, Lord, woe me a sinner. And I quit reading it because it was so much conviction on my life in the area of prayer. The second time, I got three quarters of the way through it. I read it again, and boy, I'm telling you, what a powerful book it is. Here's what he says. No learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gift will supply its lack. There's no substitute for prayer, my friends. No lack for prayer. No substitute for prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I thought about this. When's the last time God showed you something mighty through prayer? Somebody challenged me many years ago to write my prayers down and write down when God answers them. I wish I did it on all of them, but I do. I write it down when God answers prayer. By the way, that encourages you. When you look back 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, and you see God is working. Amen. And so let's look at James chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? And all the redeemed said, amen. But he says, let him pray. By the way, aren't you glad you can pray? I'm glad that, by the way, that is one thing every Christian can do. Not every Christian can sing a special. Not every Christian can play the piano. Not every Christian can teach a Sunday school class. Not every Christian is going to be called into the ministry. But every Christian can pray. In other words, every Christian can affect life by prayer. Isn't that amazing? Notice what he says. Is any merry? Well, let him sing songs. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. He says, is any sick among you? And all the redeemed said, sure. Sniffles and listeria, if you eat bluebell like me. Yeah, I just got through eating a bluebell the other day and they said, oh, you got listeria. I was like, great. I'm glad I feel bad. Notice what he says. Let him call for the elders of the church. That's the season. That's the ones that you know that can get a hold of God. Call them. He says, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, we know that oil in the Old Testament was used for municipal purposes. But I believe this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit has to be a part of our prayers. And we'll look at that here in a little bit also. Notice what he says, and a prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord, by the way, I'm not into faith healing. Don't get me wrong. Benny Hinn has no power to heal anybody. Amen. That's only God. By the way, if Benny Hinn was who he says he is, why don't you go to Children's Hospital? Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You just walk through there and all those leukemia patients just get up and they'd be cured of their leukemia. That'd be great, wouldn't it? And people fall for that because we're in a tangible world. We want to see visible results. But I'm telling you, sometimes prayer is 25 years of praying for the same person. I prayed 25 years for my father to be saved. And guess what? I'm not going to quit until he's saved. Until God carries me on. But I'll tell you, faith endures, right? And it keeps going. But we see all these things. Faith does heal the sick. How does it heal them? It heals them through God, not through man. Now, God will use our faith. He wants to see our faith. I realize that. But if anybody's healed, it's God, not us. Amen. And we must always remember that the answer to prayer should always lead us to praise. And we'll talk about that also. Notice what he says. Shall raise him up, and him committed sins shall be forgiven of him. Isn't it amazing in the Bible when Jesus Christ was walking in the streets, and those would come that were empty, that were lame, and all those people that were sick of diseases. Always amazing how he said, rise up, walk, and be forgiven of your sins. Isn't that amazing how God worked that in? But notice what else happens. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Boy, wouldn't that be a good church to be a part of? I'm glad I'm part of a heritage. That you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man of such a man subject to like passions as we are. What does that mean? By the way, you study the life of Elijah. He was up and down in his Christian life. Elijah didn't have a steady life. He had faults. He had afflictions. He had hurts. He had sin in his life. He said that he's like us. But notice what happened. It says, and he prayed earnestly. And this is giving you an example of a righteous man praying. And what can happen when a righteous man prays? He can stop praying for 3.5 months. Somebody must have prayed in the last 2 years for Texas. Somebody just turned it back on, amen, that it might not rain. And after on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Let's pray, and we'll talk about a praying faith tonight. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come boldly before your throne tonight. And God, you have a plan and a will that, God, sometimes we don't see. And so, Lord, when we pray, help us to pray according to your will. But, Lord, I know that you want to hear our heart when we pray. And, Lord, God, too many people complicate prayer, and Lord, think we have to use certain words and certain methods. And Lord, it's just talking to you as if you're right here with us, and you are. God, help us to fall in love with prayer. And God, seeing you work in our lives and other people's lives should encourage us to pray even more. But God, I pray you forgive me, God, for not praying enough. Lord, I promise there's nobody here tonight that, God, at the time of death, they would rise up and say, I prayed too much. Lord, that's none of us tonight. Help us to pray more. But God, we know that prayer is nothing without faith. And Lord, you said without faith it's impossible to please you. And so God, help us to have faith when we pray, believing that you will. And God, we know that you'll bless, Lord, tonight if we just give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I give you some things tonight about prayer, and I'll give you three things. And I hope they'll be a blessing because I believe we all struggle in the area of prayer. I believe we all do. I believe if you talk to the most seasoned Christian, I believe if we were to talk to Brother A.B. Henderson tonight, I guarantee you he wouldn't say, I pray too much. I believe we all could increase in the area of prayer. And I know Michael Wiggins can. You say, do you pray? Sure, I pray. Do I pray every day? Sure, I do. I try to be in the attitude of prayer. I believe that's where we fail. We should never cease praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Well, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But we should pray without ceasing. In other words, we should always be in attitude of prayer. You know what that means? And I'm getting ahead of myself. But that means we ought to keep the line clear and open so we can always pray. Amen. There shouldn't be anything that comes between us and God where we couldn't pray at a moment's notice. God help us. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But I'm saying, Lord help us that we would have sin in our life so we couldn't pray. Wouldn't it be sad if something happened, emergency, and we needed to go to the Lord and we couldn't get a hold of Him because we got sin in our life? We ought to always be in that attitude of prayer. Well, number one, we'll talk about the cause of prayer. The cause of prayer. David said in 1 Samuel chapter 17 to Saul, he said, is there not a cause? He saw that there was a cause to fight for the Lord and fight for right. By the way, there is a cause for praying, and he gives us that. In verse 13, he says, is there any afflicted? Well, I can think of a lot of people that fit that category. He said, is there any sick? I can think of a lot of people that fit that category. And I believe we need to get back to prayer. Why should we pray? What is our cause? Well, the first thing is because we're commanded to pray. Notice what he says, and you write these down. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. But Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end. He said that men ought always to pray and to faint not. That's us. By the way, when Jesus said that, he was saying that to the church. That's why you have to believe the church was started by Christ or none of these things fit. Jesus started the first church. And when Jesus started the church, he told them that men ought always to pray. The church, the Christian, ought to always pray. Because we're just talking to the Father. Notice some other things in this scripture. He said, verse 14, is there any sick? He says, let him call for the elders. Let him anoint him with oil. He says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. There is a cause to pray. There's a command to pray. There is a command, but also why should we pray? Not only because there's a command, but because of compassion. Notice what he says in verse 16. He says, pray one for another. Well, I'll tell you what. Some of the greatest times I've ever spent in church has been here or here praying for somebody and watching God work in their life. By the way, I realize as a staff member, we know more prayer requests sometimes than you guys do. But I also realize that Pastor knows more things going on in the church than I know. And you know what? I'm glad that we can go to the Lord in prayer and pray for people. And by the way, God gives us God sense to look at somebody and tell they need our prayer. Have you ever, now there's some people that you're going to meet, they always need prayer, right? But there's those people, you can sense it. You can sense it in their spirit. You know, something's wrong. And by the way, you don't have to know what's wrong to know how to pray for them. I don't believe you have to know the minute details of somebody's life. I don't want you to know everything about my life. I don't want you to know all my downfalls and down sittings and all these things. But I do want you to pray for me and pray that God would lift me up, that God would strengthen me, that God would put a hedge about me, and that God would give me my voice back. Please. You know, the Lord heard my prayer many years ago. I said, Lord, I'd always like to have a radio voice. And now I do. I have a deeper voice. But I don't want it anymore. I don't like it. Pray one for another. By the way, are you one tonight that somebody can pick up the phone and say, sister, brother, so-and-so, would you pray for me? And would you do it? You know, pastors taught me this, and you know, people always say, hey, will you pray for me? You know, and we say it kind of, you know, flippantly sometimes. Oh, I'll pray for you. And we forget, don't we? Everybody guilty? Come on, don't leave me hanging right there. You know what I'm saying? So what do you do? Well, I either have to put it in my phone or I pray for them right there if the moment avails itself, right? Because you know what? I believe that, and I've said this 100 times if you're in our Sunday school class, you've heard this, but my grandmother always said that I'm going to pray for you because I don't know if anybody else is. That was her statement. She said, I'm praying for you because I don't know if anybody else is. I can't depend on anybody else to pray for you. It's my job as your grandmother to pray for you. Whew. You know what happened? Just about all of her grandkids are saved and in church and half of them are in the ministry. You know why? Because she prayed. I know she prayed. You know how I know she prayed? You missed church, buddy. Grandmother's on you. And my grandmother didn't, you know, she would ask you, where were you at? That was not meaning I didn't feel good or I just didn't feel like going. No, you're going to give her specifics and you're going to explain why you wasn't there. And then next Sunday you're going to be there because you don't want to explain it to her again. Amen? Isn't it wonderful to have people that can pray for you, having compassion one for another and praying one for another, but also having compassion, making a difference, as Jude tells us, and pulling them out of the fire? How are you going to do it? You're going to have to pray for them. You got to pray for the lost. You know, you may have a lost neighbor, you may have a lost loved one, you may have a lost boss or whoever it is. You better have compassion on them and pray for them. I was telling Pastor this week, I've been studying Islam and all these things, and I was looking at a thing that happened in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. They had 300 Muslims up there having a convention. There was a crowd of course, Baptists that were over there, and they had signs, God hates Muslims, and they had pigs on stakes, and they did nothing for the cause of Christ. Well, there was a man there that was an independent Baptist. He was a big, tall guy. He had a shirt on that said, I love Muslims. The man passed out 1,500 tracts that day and was able to witness to all those Muslims that came by. You see, having compassion is what we need. You can get out there. By the way, I used to preach this all the time. Before you ever pick it, you ought to pray. It's a lot more effective. You can get out there and say, God hates these people and God hates these people, but be reminded you once too were lost. And God had compassion on you, and you're to show compassion on others and love others. We need to do away with that. And this crazy independent Baptist church that pickets all these funerals. Yeah, I'm telling you what, you want to know compassion, that's God having compassion on that church and not striking them people dead. Because I'll tell you what, God is not the author of that stuff. God is a God of love. I realize that. And we need to get on our knees and pray through compassion. There is a cause to pray. What is it? It's a command. It should be compassion. Number two, the communication of prayer. There's a communication of prayer. I've heard preaching on prayer all my life. And sometimes they're very good. And sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes whenever I get down to pray, I got to think, well, all right, I got to do this step first, this step first. And I realize there's a formula of prayer that God gave us. The Lord Jesus gave the church. I realize that. But you know what? You don't have to know all the fancy words to get a hold of God. You know, I'm glad I don't call my father on the telephone and say, Donald Earl Wiggins, he would think I was crazy, number one. This is your son, you know. I mean, I talk to him. I reverence my father. Amen? But you know what? The communication of prayer is just praying. What is praying? Praying is asking. Praying is talking to your Heavenly Father, crying, Abba, Father, and just speaking to the Father. There has to be that communication. But also he said, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him ask. Let him have fellowship with the Lord. And it's communing with God one-on-one. Hallelujah for that time. But he also says, is there any merry among you? He said, let him sing songs. What does that mean? The second part of communicating with God is praising Him. You know what? Well, I wrote this down in my Bible, that when we get to the point where we can truly begin to praise God in our prayers, means that we are maturing in our prayer life. Why is that? Let me say this. It's because we're beginning to see answers to our prayers. The more we see answers, the more we can praise Him. Isn't that amazing? You know, by the way, prayer shouldn't always just be all about us just begging God for this. It should be a time of God, thank you. Oh, thank you. Last week, Lord, I was just praying for this, and God, you blessed it. And God, I remember praying for this person, and they came down and got saved. Lord, thank you. I praise your holy name for that. By the way, we can't ever have worship in church without, before we don't get on our knees and say, Lord, thank you and praise you. Lord, bless this day. There has to be that communication. That's what he's saying in verse 13. The communication is there. He said, let him ask. Let him sing. Let him praise him. Let him talk to the Father. Sometimes you say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we shall pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes, you ever been to that place? You just, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. But Lord, you know my heart tonight. And there's been times, Lord, I don't know. You ever been so brokenhearted you can't say a word? But aren't you glad you don't have to speak it out loud? By the way, the Pharisees, they were showy on their prayers, wasn't they? You ever met those people? They know all the fancy words to their prayers. I met those people before. I'm like, man, that was a beautiful prayer. But I think about it now, I'm like, I wonder if God heard that though. Because God don't hear the words that come out of our mouth. He hears our heart. Amen. Amen? Well, there's been times I've been in the pulpit and prayed. I was like, nailed that one. Everybody's like, that's the prettiest prayer I ever heard. I'm just being honest. I'm like, yeah. And then I think about, that went about as far as my lips. and God didn't hear a word of that. But I'm going to tell you what, there's been times that I've been so broken. It's like, God, please help me. And the Holy Spirit inside of me begins to interpret my life and my needs to my Father. And I'm telling you what, sometimes you don't know how to pray. You know, but Lord, I want your will to be done. And God, I just yield my... Boy, I'm telling you what, isn't it amazing when your prayers, when you know God's hearing your prayers? There's been times I prayed and, I knew it didn't get above my head. Been there, done that. I preached a lot of sermons like that, and maybe one tonight, who knows? But, you know, you think about prayer. There is that communication of prayer. We must communicate with Him. Let me give you the last thing, the condition of prayer. By the way, the key to prayer is faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We see the condition of prayer in verses 16 through 18. It gives us an illustration of Elijah in the Old Testament. It talks about in verse 16 about the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is the condition of prayer? By the way, number one, you must be converted. You must be converted. I've had people argue with me over these things. And you go to John chapter 9 and verses 31 through 33. And the Bible says that God does not hear the prayer of the sinner, of the lost man. Only prayer God's going to hear. By the way, I've had people argue with me over this statement. And there's scripture after scripture. But it's common sense. What is prayer? Prayer is asking in faith. The key to prayer is faith. If a lost person has enough faith, they get saved. Amen? If they have faith, how are they going to pray to a God they don't even believe in? Have never had a personal relationship with. The only prayer God is waiting to hear from them is the prayer, the sinner's prayer, and them calling out and repenting of their sin and asking Jesus to be their Savior. That's what God is waiting on. By the way, and let me correct myself. God hears everything. I realize that, but God doesn't answer everything. You see what I'm saying? Is that? And I preached this before. Boy, I had a mama get so mad at me. Oh, man. It was like World War III. And I preached it. I said, you know, if you're here lost, you can't even pray for your kids. You've got to be converted first. Who are you going to pray to? You know, it's kind of like an atheist having the chaplain in the military. Y'all heard this? It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? What are y'all going to do? What are y'all going to talk about? Yes, sir, Mr. Chaplain, I'm really hurting dealing with depression. Good luck. This is it anyway, so, you know, there's nobody to, I have no advice for you because there's nobody to help you. But I'm telling you is that when we look at prayer and we look at it in our life, you got to be converted. You must have faith in Jesus Christ before you can ever pray. By the way, the Bible says there's one mediator between us and God. And it is the man Christ Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then the gulf between you and God is still there. It hasn't been bridged by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can't expect to get on your knees and touch God and touch heaven when you've not even met Jesus Christ. Oh, but preacher, you know why people get mad at that? It's because they want to be lost and still be religious. That's why people get mad at that statement. But I'm telling you, the Bible says that you must have faith in Jesus Christ before you could ever... The veil is still there for you. I've gone behind the veil, Hebrews chapter 6 tells me. I have an anchor behind the veil. I can reach the throne of God. The last thing tonight, you must be clean. Psalm 66, 18, write that one down. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. By the way, Elijah was a clean man. When he prayed, God stopped the rain for 3.5 years. And God heard that prayer. And then after that 3.5 years, Elijah prayed again. And when he prayed, the Bible says the rain came down. Why? Because he was a man of righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means to be right with God and right with man. Isn't that amazing? To be right with God and be right with man. To be right in the sight of God. We see that we can... by the way, I was studying this today. I was reading on prayer today, and I love this statement. It says, we can go to the altar for cleansing and then go to the throne for prayer. Let me say that again. I don't know who said it, but it said, we go to the altar for the cleansing. Picture the temple. The place of sacrifice, the place of cleansing. Then we go to the throne, what? For prayer. By the way, you got to be clean. And God's not, if you regard iniquity, that sin in your life, God's not going to hear your prayer. What is He waiting on? He's waiting on you to clean it up. Whew. That'll hurt you, won't it? That'll hurt me and you. We think, well, I can just pray any time of the day. But I'll tell you what, we better make sure we're clean. How are you going to pray for somebody else to be recovered and reconciled when you yourself are in sin? It's kind of like being in quicksand up to here and praying for other people that are in quicksand. You better get out first. Amen? Because you're the one going down. You're the one, and there's a lot there, but must be clean. Turn over to 1 Peter. We're close to 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is the one that hurts the most. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Ooh, Lord. It's in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands. Didn't say wives. It said, the head of the home. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. We could stop there. We'd be like, yeah, got that one covered. That's good, but why? He says, and being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. By the way, your marriage ain't right. Your prayer life ain't going to be right. They go hand in hand. By the way, you want to keep your marriage right? Keep your prayer life right. In other words, you having problems with your spouse, you having problems in your marriage, you better clean it up. By the way, how in the world are you going to pray for somebody else's family when yours is in turmoil too? Try to get that right, and I understand there's some reconciliation that needs to go on there. But if I have an ought against my wife, matter of fact, the Bible says don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. You should get that right. Me and my wife ever fussed and fought? No. Not today. I don't think. I've been at the school all day. I've seen her only about an hour today. But you know what? There's times, that, and honestly, in all honesty, me and my wife have one of the greatest marriages. We hardly ever, I just say yes, ma'am, and go on. But I'll tell you what, my prayer life is hindered whenever I'm not right with my wife. I want to make sure that I'm right with my wife. I want to make sure I'm right with, I want to be clean when I come before God. And I'm glad that He said that we can come before Him, that He'll clean us up. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness, right? And that He can clean us up and that we can pray. Because you know what? My kids need Daddy to pray for them. Every morning when me and the kids get in the car, we always pray. Every morning we stop and we pray. And we pray for Mama, pray for Bailey, pray for this, pray for that. In the car, because that's just the quietest place in the whole place. And it's amazing in our life that when we pray at the house, Bailey just ta 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 until I say, let's pray. It's amazing how God works that out, isn't it? And she's quiet. Every now and then I'll say, Bailey, you want to pray? She's like, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Even she understands what prayer is. She'll bow her head a little bit. And she whispers it. By the way, I don't understand what she's saying, but God does. And by the way, boy, that'll make you, whoo, my kids need me to pray for them. Amen. My wife needs me to pray for them. You know what? My pastor needs me to pray for him. God help us if we have sin in our life. We have junk in our life. Our marriages are not where they should be, so we can't pray. I want somebody to be able to call me on the phone and say, Brother Wiggins, can you pray for me? I say, yes, right now I can. I don't have to spend 20 minutes trying to get everything cleaned up because I've already done that. Amen? Yeah. I want Brother Clark to be able to call me and say, hey, can you pray for me? I say, yes, sir, Brother Clark. All right, let's do it right now. Brother Clark, could you call me back in about 20 minutes? I got to go find my wife real quick. You see what I'm saying? Is that not what the Scripture said? That we need to be clean. You got to have a clean life. You say, well, if I got to do all that, I don't know about praying anymore. You better be glad somebody's praying for you. I'm glad somebody's praying for me. You know what prayer really is? It's just us bowing in humility, realizing who we are and that we're in need of God. And God, I'm insufficient of myself. But God, with you, I'm sufficient. Because you're sufficient. Your grace is sufficient. You know what? Too many times we're in such a hurry, aren't we? We're at the table. Food comes. I'm hungry. Lord, bless the food, amen. My pastor taught me to pray. Lord, help this food not kill us in Jesus' name. Amen. You better pray that if you're eating Bluebell. But I'll tell you what. When it comes time, I'm not talking about praying for food, but I'm talking about when it comes time to pray for your family, we better make sure we slow down and find that secret place. Wherever your secret place is, everybody has those places, you know. I have places that I pray that my family don't know I pray. Because if they found out I prayed there, I wouldn't be able to pray there no more. Amen? Amen. You get in there and you just get along with God. And you, by the way, faith is just seeing God just by faith right here that He's listening. And that, God, I've cleaned my life up. Lord, forgive me of all my sin, Lord. Lord, cleanse me. And if I know known sin, I'm going to name them. Lord, forgive me of that. Forgive me of that. Lord, forgive me of that. Lord, forgive me because I didn't do that. By the way, sometimes it ain't just the sins of admission, but omission. You know, sometimes it's the things we don't do. God, forgive me of that. But Lord, now, would you be with my wife? Lord, would you be with my kids? Lord, would you be with my pastor? Lord, would you be with Miss Roberta? Miss Roberta needs somebody to pray for her. Hope I'm the one. So I don't know if you guys are doing it or not. It's up to me. God's given me the command. And I want to have compassion. I want to pray for whoever it may be. Let me ask you tonight, if we were just to stop the service right now, could you pray and get a hold of God? Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed tonight. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to, Lord, to pray. But Lord, I understand that, Lord, just because we're on our knees and just because we're uttering words doesn't mean that we're truly praying. Lord, maybe tonight there just needs to be a moment of cleansing before we call upon your name. Lord, I pray tonight that we would all continue in prayer, be steadfast in prayer for one for another. Lord, if there's anything that's going to help this world, it's prayer. Lord, it is the power that is so misused and not used in this world today. Lord, help us to be people of prayer. And Lord, you even said in the Old Testament that you wanted your house to be called the house of prayer. Lord, so many times we're just in a hurry. Lord, we're ungrateful, whatever the means may be. Lord, God, just forgive us of that. Lord, help us to take time to pray. God, to get a hold of you. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that, Lord, just been encouraged to work on their prayer life. Lord, I know that's me. God, I certainly want to give more time in praying. And Lord, we realize that the old revivals, the only way they came about was because there were some men and some ladies praying for souls to be saved and that God would change a world. Lord, we're to that again. Lord, we want to see our world change. We want to see our world saved. Lord, help us tonight to be people of prayer. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. What a message. Turn to Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. And the Bible says Elijah was a man of like passion. And basically what he's saying there is that we're like him. And if God would do it for Elijah, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for me. We need to pray in faith. Amen. It's a good message. I Need Thee Every Hour as we sing. Ready?